The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now learning Simen Pei Ches of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the laws of Muktzah on Shabbos. The word muktzah means something which is set aside, which means that is not designated for Shabbos use. There are many articles that Chazal forbade moving on Shabbos. The Rambam gives three reasons why Chazal forbade moving these articles. First of all, he says that the Torah intended that Shabbos is supposed to be a serene time when we are in a mindset of restfulness. In order to bring us to this state of menucha, they forbade moving certain articles which might preoccupy a person's mindset on Shabbos. A second reason why Chazal forbade the movement of certain articles is because items which are normally used for a melacha, if someone would be allowed to move them, he might inadvertently do a melacha with those articles. And finally, a third reason the Rambam explains is because those people who are not normally engaged in doing melacha during the week, if on Shabbos they are not doing melacha, Shabbos would not at all be distinct for them. So in order to demonstrate the specialness of Shabbos, it was necessary to impose additional restrictions so that Shabbos would be unique and special. The Ravid provides an additional reason why some articles may not be moved on Shabbos. By limiting what a person is allowed to move, Chazal were protecting people from carrying articles into a Rishus HaRabim, thereby violating the Melacha of Hotzah. Now, the principles of Muktzah did not go into effect all at once. There were different eras where Chazal saw the need to restrict the movement of a certain article, and then at times, in later eras, they relaxed some of those restrictions. There are many different categories of Muktzah, but one thing should be made clear. Something which has a normal use on Shabbos will not be considered muktzah. So certainly, food, whether it's intended for people or for animals, will generally never be considered muktzah on Shabbos. The same thing would be true of clothing that a person could wear on Shabbos, or any utensils that their normal use is permissible on Shabbos. All of these type of articles would not be considered muktzah. Now, there are a lot of different opinions among the poskim about how to categorize the different forms of muktzah. Our siman in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch will be focusing on six categories of muktzah. We're going to quickly enumerate them now, but subsequently we will go through them in greater detail. The first one is muktzah machmas gufo. This refers to articles which are inherently unusable for any purpose on Shabbos. The most obvious example of this would be a stone. The second category is muktzah machmas iser. These are articles that cannot be used without violating some iser, such as chametz on Pesach would be in the category of muktzah machmas iser. The third category is nolad. This refers to something which came into existence on Shabbos but did not exist before Shabbos. The fourth category is kli shemelachto leiser. This refers to an item whose primary use is something which is prohibited on Shabbos. For example, a pen is muksa as a kli shemalachta l'iser. Then there is the fifth category, which is muksa machmas chisaron kis. This refers to articles that the owner would not use them because of a concern that they would become damaged. For example, one's passport would be muksa machmas chisaron kis. And finally, the sixth category is basis l'davar aser. This is referring to an article which is being used as a base for some muksa item, such as if you have a table on which there are candlesticks and nothing else, then the table would be considered a basis. It would be a base for the muksa candlesticks, and therefore the table itself would be a category of muksa. Okay, so now we are ready to begin Halacha Aleph. Now in this first Se'if, the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch will be demonstrating to us what is not muksa. In other words, if something was mentally put aside and no physical act was done with it, then it would not be in the category of muksa, and one would be allowed to eat it or move it on Shabbos. So he says, muktzah midah, something which was mentally put aside. Dahaino, this is referring to shehiktzoh adam midaito mila echlo b'Shabbos. A person designated it in his mind, he pushed it aside in his mind from eating on Shabbos. Machma she'ena roi la'achila ela ayidei etrak. Since it is not really so edible, except under extenuating circumstances. For example, let's say you have milk that went, it's a little bit off. So it's not inedible. You could drink it, but it doesn't taste so great. So if you mentally decide that you are not going to drink it, you're planning to spill it out, and then on Shabbos you change your mind, you would be allowed to drink it because you didn't do any physical act to push it aside. He gives another example. Oy, sheroi l'achila afilo belodchak. If you have a food which is edible even without great pressure, ela shiktzol l'schora, but it was designated as merchandise to be sold, afapisha nosna l'otzer, even though they put it into storage. So this would be another example. You didn't do anything to the food, you put it into storage, expecting to sell it in your store. And then on Shabbos, you decide that you want to eat it. It could be relevant. Let's say someone sells wine, and they have a place where they keep that merchandise. But then they realize they do not have enough wine for Kiddush on Shabbos. They'd be allowed to take from that merchandise, even though they had no intention to drink from it on Shabbos. V'chein davar shehu roi hayom l'maychol klavim. The same thing would be something which is today usable as food for dogs. Afal bishav erev Shabbos lo hayom l'kach. Even though before Shabbos it was not usable for this purpose. Kigon behema va'ov. For example, you have an animal or a bird shenisnablu b'Shabbos, which first became a nevela, first it died on Shabbos. So even though at the onset of Shabbos I had no expectation that I can use this as food for my dogs, nevertheless it would only be considered muksa midas, and therefore it's usable on Shabbos. V'chein davar shenishtana hayom mima shehaya etmol. The same thing would be true about something which changed today from the way it was yesterday. Avol mikomakam gam hayom adayin roi le'ezet hashmush. But today it's still usable for some purpose. Kigon kelim shenishtabru hayom. For example, utensils that broke today on Shabbos. Va'adayin ru'uyin le'ishtamish behen me'ein tashmishon harishon. And they're still eligible for use in a way that's similar to their original use, lekabo behen ezer meichel or mashkia, in which they could receive some food or drink. So, since they are still usable as utensils, you'd be allowed to move them on Shabbos and use them on Shabbos. V'chein atzamos, the same thing would be true of bones, shenisparko hayom min habasa, that they were pulled off the meat on Shabbos. V'chein ru'uyin leklavim, and they are usable for dogs. So even though this was not its original purpose, nevertheless, the rule is that it is movable on Shabbos. He says, "Kol elu mutarin l'talta b'Shabbos," and all of the things that are listed in this seif, they may be moved on Shabbos. Chutz mima shedocha b'yadayim, except for that which was pushed away by hand. It was manually pushed away. Kigon grogros utzimukim, such as dried fruit, dried figs, or raisins, where a person wants to make dried fruit, so he takes the fruit, the fresh fruit, he puts them out in the sun, and it's clear then that he has no intent to eat them in their fresh state. If he changes his mind on Shabbos and he desires to eat them, he may not do so, because there it's not simply a mental designation that is being pushed away, or some physical act was done with it as well. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out that not just in the case of kelim, utensils that broke on Shabbos, we said that as long as they have some use which is similar to the original use, that they may be used. The Mishnah Berurah paskins even more so, even if the new use has nothing to do with the original purpose, it still may be used in Shabbos. One last point from the Mishnah Berurah, and that is the issue about the meat on the bones. So that would only apply in a locale or in a situation where a person has dogs. But if there's no dogs in the neighborhood, so then the bones would certainly be muksa, because it's not eligible as animal food. There are no animals that would eat it. So we see that Halakha Aleph was talking about things that are really not muksa, and they are movable on Shabbos. And now we're ready to go through the six categories of muksa. And in Halakha Beis, he's going to deal with the first category, which is muksa machmas gufo, something which is inherently muksa by itself, because it has no purpose. He says, Dvarim she'enam ru'oyim klal la'achilas adam, something that's not at all usable for food for people, kimo shehein, as they are now in their current state, afilo aydei adchak, even under extenuating circumstances, shetzrichen bishel, for example, it needs to be cooked. If you have a raw food that requires cooking, so since people can't eat it, it will be muksa, it's purposeless. V'yaf al gav shiro'uyim lo behemos al klavim, even though an animal or dogs could eat it in its raw state, hare kevan shehem muchanim l'maycho adam, since they are prepared for human consumption, li'achazman, for much later on, einan omdin l'behemos v'laklavim, they are not something that are considered eligible for animals or for dogs, and therefore you would not be allowed to move it. So, as an example of this, is if you have frozen meat that is in your freezer, it's going to be a problem to access the food that is behind it, which you want to take out for a Shabbos purpose. Because the frozen meat, which is raw, is not eligible for people, nor for animals. So the Kitzer goes on. He says, V'chein dvarim she'enam ru'uyin b'Shabbos l'shum tashmish. The same thing is true of articles that have no purpose at all on Shabbos. Kigon etzim, such as wood, v'notzos shel ofos, and bird feathers, v'oros behemos, and animal hides, v'tzemer opishtim, and wool or flax, the kol balechayim, as well as all living creatures, afilo shehein betoch beso, even if they live inside his house, uklipe egozim, and nutshells, uklipe beitzim, and eggshells, ve'atzamos hakoshos, and hard bones, she'enan ru'uyin afilo leklavim, that even dogs can't eat them, v'dalsos v'chalonos habayis, and doors and windows of a house which are not attached, the osor l'tloson b'shabbos, because it is forbidden to reattach them on Shabbos, v'chein shivrei kelim, as well as broken vessels, she'enan ru'uyin od l'shum tashmish, that now serve absolutely no purpose, kol elo v'adom lehem, all of these and whatever is similar to them, asurin betilto, are forbidden to be moved on Shabbos. Umiko mokam, however, klei schuches shenishtabru b'mokam sheyecholun lahazik, if there's broken glass in a place where it could damage someone, mutar lefanos hashvarim, it is permissible to sweep away the broken shards, even though they are muksa. Halacha Gimel deals with muksa machmas iser, articles which may not be moved in Shabbos because of some halachic prohibition that is associated with them. He says, Maicho shu aser ba'achila u'muta ba'ana, a food which is forbidden to be eaten, but one would be allowed to benefit from it. So this is most non-kosher food, except for a basa v'chalav that was cooked together. B'huroi l'goy k'moshehu, and it is eligible to be given to a non-Jew in its current state. K'goin basa mevushal u'kadoma, for example, cooked meat and the like. V'yachohu litno l'go shehu shelo, and he's able to give it to a non-Jew because the meat belongs to him, mutar l'tautelo, so one would be allowed to move it on Shabbos. That is not muksa. Avo im einer roi l'goi k'mo shehu, but let's say the meat cannot be used by a non-Jew in its current state. K'gon basar chai, for example, it's raw meat, it still requires cooking. V'gam laklavim eina omed, and it also is not usable for dogs, kevan sheroi lagoi, since it is intended to be used for a non-Jew. O she'eina yochel litna lagoi, or it's a case where he cannot give the non-kosher food to a goy, mifnei she'eina shelo, because it doesn't belong to him, ela sho'acha, but belongs to someone else. Asur l'tautelo, it is forbidden to move it on Shabbos. This is muksa machmas iser. Halacha Dalet deals with the next category of muksa, known as nolad, something which came into existence on Shabbos. He says, nolad, v'haynu dover shenischadesh hayom, this is referring to something that came into existence today on Shabbos, kigon efer min Ash, for example, ash that comes from fire. Shehusek hayom ayidei goy. It was a fire that was ignited today by a non-Jew. V'chein beitza shenolda hayom, or an egg that was laid today. Umayim hasochlim min ha'ilanos bimei nisan, or liquid that flows from the trees during the spring season. This is referring to sap. V'chein afilo lo nischadesh hayom, or even something that did not come into existence today, ela shebo mikoach maise shehayu asurin lasas hayom, but it came about from an action which was forbidden to be done today, kigon peros shenoflu min ha'ilan, fruit that fell from the tree, oh, shetoshan goy, or that they were detached by a non-Jew. So, even though the fruits were in existence before Shabbos, but certainly there's no way that anyone could have used them without the act of detaching. His other example is v'chalav, or milk, shenechlav hayom, which was milked from the cow today, ukedoma, and the like. Gamkein asurim betilto, these are also forbidden to be moved in Shabbos. Upas sha'afa'a goy b'Shabbos be'ir, bread that a non-Jew baked on Shabbos in the city, sheruba goyim, that most of the occupants are non-Jews, the mistama adaita de goyafa, so we assume that it's likely that his intention was not to use it for Jews, but for non-Jews. Im hishas et chak olu tzarech mitzvah, if it's extenuating circumstances, or it's needed for a mitzvah, such as you need it for your Shabbos seudos, mutar li Yisrael la'achla b'Shabbos, it is permitted for Yisrael to use it, to eat it on Shabbos, and we do not consider it to be nolad. Halacha Hay deals with the next category of muksa, which is known as kli shemelachto le'iser. He says, kelim sheheim miyuchadim lasas behem melacha, articles, utensils, which are designated to be used for melacha purposes, who asura lasas b'Shabbos, which are forbidden to be done in Shabbos. Kigon, for example, machteshes, that's a mortar, v'rechayim, a mill, v'kurnas, a hammer, v'kardom, an axe, u'machbodos, shemechabdim behenes abayis, this is a broom with which one sweeps the house, v'shofar u'menorah, or a shofar, or any type of menorah, umachat, or a needle, shetofrin ba, with which one would sew, veneros shlemos, and complete candles, bein shel chelev, bein shel shaiva, whether they are made out of fats or they're made out of wax, upsilos mitzemer gefen, and wicks that are made out of cotton, ubeged shatnez sha'aser lelavshoy, and a garment which contains shatnez, which is forbidden to be worn, v'chein kol kiyotze be'elo, and anything like these, mutarin letautulan letzarech gufan, one would be allowed to move them for their own purpose, kigon kurnos liftsoa bo egozim, for example, to use the hammer to break open nuts, kardom, an axe, lachtoch bo dover meichel, in order to slice some type of hard food, machat shlema, the complete needle, lito bo esakotz, in order to take out a splinter, avo imnito uktsa ochuda, but if a part of the needle, whether the top or the bottom, was removed, aser b'chol tiltil, in that case, as a broken kli, it is forbidden to be used. V'chein mutarin l'tautulon l'tzarech mekomo, it is also permissible to move any of these items for their location, if you need the place. D'haino shetzarech l'ishtamish b'mokom, that means you need to make use of the place. Sh'akli munoch sham, that is resting there. So, for example, if someone wants to go to sleep on Friday night, and there's a pen on his pillow, since he needs the place of the pillow for his head, or he wants the place of the pillow for his head, he would be allowed to move the pen, even though the pen is a kli shemelachto le'iser. V'kevan shenotlo beheter, since the article is being moved in a permissible way, v'chein im shachach v'notlo biyodai, and the same is true if he forgot and he moved and he picked it up with his hand, even though he wasn't really allowed to. So once that was done, the rule is mutter l'tautelo gam yoter ulanicho bimkom sheyirtze. He'd be allowed to move it to whatever place he wants, because once it came into his hands, he could put it down wherever he wants. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Vilna Gaon argues in his Machmer and says he's not allowed to put it down in a case where he forgot, he picked it up in error. But everyone agrees that in the case of a Kalisha Malachta Le'isser, where he picked it up because he needed the location, then certainly he would be allowed to put it down wherever he chooses. But let's say one wants to move these articles not for their own sake and not because you want the location. You want to move it for themselves, meaning so they should not get stolen, or they should not get damaged. Also, the Tautalon, so it would be forbidden to move them. So, for example, if there would be an electrical appliance that is outdoors, and it serves as a klisha malachta le'isser, as no use in Shabbos, and it's about to rain, so to bring it inside the house would not be justified, because as a klisha malachta le'isser, it can be moved l'tzorach gufo if you have some other use for it, or l'tzorach mekoma, or you need that particular location. Since neither of those apply over here, it would be forbidden to bring it inside the house. Utfilin gamkein asurin l'talto. Tfilin also is forbidden to be moved. Ach imunachim bimkom bizoyen sheyuchlu lishlach lech, unless it is resting in a disgraceful place where it can get dirty, muta l'tautalon, one would be allowed to move it, ulahanichon b'mokom d'mishdamrim, and then to put it down in a safe location. Halacha Vav deals with yet another category of muktza, which is known as muktza machmas chesaron kis. So he's going to explain. He says muktza machmas chesaron kis, it's a muktza which is based on a concern of a monetary loss. Tahainu she'adam makzeh midaito lishtamish behem, a person designated in his mind that he is disassociating yusumit mipnei shehu makbed aleihem, because it's something which he is extremely careful with, shelo yiskalkulu, that it should not be damaged. Kigon klei umanus, for example, professional equipment, shemak be'aleim, that the owner is very strict in them, shelo yipagemo, that they should not get damaged, because that would endanger their livelihood. Visakin, and a knife, shemisaknim bo esakumis, with which he fixes up a quill. Visakin shel shchita, and the knife that is used for slaughtering. Visakin shomila, and the knife that's used to perform a circumcision. Vechein niyar ha'omed l'ksiva, as well as paper that is set aside for to be written on. It's blank paper. It used to be blank paper was very valuable. Today, I don't think that this would go into the category of muktza machmas chesaron kis. Ushtarei chovos, and documents of debt, v'kisvei cheshbonos, and writings of monetary calculations, v'igros, as well as letters, shehu makbed aleihem l'shomron, he's careful that he wants to protect them. V'kelim ha'yikarim, and valuable articles, she'ena mishtamish behen klal, that a person would not make use of at all. V'chein kol davar shemachmas shemakbed alav, as well as anything that since someone is so strict about it, humiyachid lo makam ve'ena mishtamish bo, he sets it aside a special location, and he won't make use of it. V'chein kelim shebechanus, as well as articles that are in the store, she'omdim lemechira, which are designated to be sold, afilo heim klei suda, even if they are eating utensils, im ein darko lahashilan, if it is not his way to lend them out for people to use, because if he would be sometimes lending them out, then they would not be muksa. All of these and whatever is similar to them, as well as a pocketbook or a wallet that is designated for money, have you an muksa machmas chasar and kiss? These would be in the category of muksa based on a concern of monetary loss. For asurin betiltil, they may not be moved on Shabbos. Afilu l'tzarech gufan o l'tzarech m'koman. Even if you want to use them now for their own sake or because you need their location, it would be forbidden to move them. So, for example, if you would find one of these articles on your bed when you want to go to sleep, even though you need the place, it is not justified to move them. Now, there is a sixth category of muksa, known as basis ledavar ha'asar, which will be dealt with later on in Sif Yud Gimel briefly, and then the entire next chapter is dedicated to the principles of this form of muksa. Halacha Zayin, davar she'ein alav shem kli klal, any item which cannot be categorized as a utensil at all, kigon etzim va'avonim, for example, sticks and stones, v'chatichos barzel, and pieces of iron, ukedoma, and the like, asurin gamkein bechol tilto, they are also forbidden in any movement on Shabbos, afilu l'tzorach gufon v'tzorach mekomo, even if you need them for their own purpose or you need their place, elim kein yechado be'erev Shabbos le'ezet hashmish, unless they were set aside from before Shabbos for any use, she'yishtamish bo le'olam, for which he would use them from here on. U'lechein also lito kisem le'chatzos bo shinov, a person is not allowed to use a little piece of wood to serve as a toothpick, neros she'enon shlemos, or candles which are not complete, where they cannot be used for lighting, gam kein ein shem kli aleihem, they also not in the category of utensils, v'asurim b'chol tilto, and therefore they cannot be moved, v'chein sulam shel aliyah, ein alav toras kli, and the same thing is true of a ladder with which one would climb up to an attic, it is not considered a utensil. Now the Mishnah Berurah brings down that as far as the ladder is concerned, some poskim do permit moving it on Shabbos. But let's go back to the classic case that he has, a stone. A stone has no use in Shabbos, and therefore it may not be moved. Let's say someone decides on Shabbos that they would want to use it, they can't. However, if before Shabbos the stone was designated for some use that would be appropriate for Shabbos, such as to use it as a paperweight to hold down some papers, if they would be planning to use it that for that purpose from now on, then the stone would not be muksa on Shabbos, because now it would be considered a kli, a utensil.